everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Oh, Michael, we have that little echo in there. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Back with you after, I was actually with you last week and the week before and the week before and the week before, but we were doing fundraising. Today I want to talk to you about covert brutality. Yes. Call it covert abuse. You know, it could give it a new syndrome. When somebody hits you or yells at you, you know you've been abused, right? It's obvious and it's easily identified, but covert abuse is subtle and veiled and disguised by actions that appear to be normal. In fact, at times they look loving and caring. One of the primary forms of covert abuse is passive-aggressive behavior. Passive-aggressive behavior. Who does that? What does it mean, passive-aggressive? It means I'm kicking you, but you can't notice it. That's what it means. It's a way of expressing aggression that seems like it's like having a personality disorder characterized by habitual passive resistance to demands for adequate performance, either in occupational, social situations, or even in relationships. And it's usually characterized by procrastination, stubbornness, sullenness, inefficiency. Now, I've done many programs on passive-aggressive behavior, and the more we do, the more we discover that this is a growing epidemic. It's like what people are doing. Why not? Aggression is such a killer. I mean, being aggressively aggressive, you're not allowed to do it. You can't hit people. If you yell at people, you know, if they'll take you to court. So what do you do instead? Well, how do you get even? And what if you're one of those people who are stuck in a job and you're looking at a 10% unemployment record and you're saying, it's a job, I got to keep the job, it's a job. And your boss yells at you or does something to you or accuses you. What do you do? Well, you may not do anything, but passive-aggressively you do without even knowing it. Passive-aggressive behavior stems from an inability to express anger in a healthy way. A person's feeling can be so repressed that they don't even realize they're angry or feeling resentment. They don't realize it. A passive-aggressive person could drive people around him or her crazy and seem dismayed when confronted with their behavior. Classic for this is the person who's always late. Late for everything. Late for their work, late for their therapy, late for their meetings with their friends. They're late. Now, here's the beauty of passive-aggressive functioning. It is so cool. Why is it cool? Because it's amazing. You could hit somebody, and then they can't tell you hit them. You could kind of whack them, and then they don't know you did it. See? Because they'll come to you, and they'll say, like, you know, they'll say to me, make sure you bring me that thing that I need. Right? And then they say, I was going to bring it, but then there was a fire. Right? We had somebody come in here the other day who called us and said he's habitually late. And he said, I'm habitually late. And so he called for an appointment. And when he showed up for the appointment, he showed up an hour late for the appointment. And I said, well, that's what you were being treated for. He said, not this time. No, this one was real. And he said, there was a thing on the subway. Of course, there may have been a thing on the subway and everything, but people who are passively aggressive have excuses like they just do it automatically. It's automatic excuse. And they're trained at it. It's almost like when you were a kid, your mother used to say, did you? And you just had your response. No, Ma, he did it. No, the school, the dog eats the homework. We call it the dog eats the homework. The dog eats the homework is an expression that those of us who know about passive-aggressive behavior, we kind of say, it's a dog ate the homework, right? If the person says to you, I didn't show up for my appointment, and then they start the excuse, because my mother had a heart attack, because, you know, we just figure it's the same thing, because the dog ate the homework. Now, this means that no matter what the excuse is, it truly doesn't matter. What it means is you're saying to me, I'm angry at you. If not me, you're saying you're angry. And this is your form of vengeance. And I know you're not in control of it. So you don't feel in control of it. The passive-aggressive person, they never nail anything down. So if you ask them to line up a bunch of things, if you say to them, okay, give me a finalize this appointment. You know, oh, well, I'm going to either go here or go there. Here's a number of things that are part of passive-aggressive behaviors. And by the way, you're going to be calling in and talking with us today because I'm dying to hear from you guys. Haven't spoken to you for a month. I'd love to hear from you. Common passive-aggressive behaviors. The first is ambiguity. You know, when you think of the proverb, actions speak louder than words, when it comes to the passive-aggressive and how ambiguous they could be, they rarely mean what they say or say what they mean. Now, how could that be? I really like you. Well, you can't really tell if they really like you, right? I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock. Well, you can't tell that they're going to be there at 4 o'clock. The best judge of how a passive-aggressive person feels about an issue is how they act. Normally, they don't act until they've caused some kind of stress by their ambiguous way of communicating. Okay, number one. Number two, forgetfulness. The passive-aggressive avoids responsibility by forgetting. And they also wreak their revenge that way. I forgot. How could you blame somebody for forgetting? How convenient is that? There's no easier way to punish somebody than forgetting their lunch date or their birthday. Right? Better yet, an anniversary. You hear about husbands always forgetting an anniversary, and we take that casually, right? Oh, yeah, it's only your anniversary. Oh, I forgot, honey, I forgot. He's not saying I forgot. He's saying, screw you, baby, you don't deserve it. That's why he forgot. Blaming. But you see, now this goes to the problem of many men in relationships. Something happens to men in relationships after a while. At the beginning, they feel like they're in control and they could speak their mind. But after a while, many men start to become sheepish. They start saying it's not worth arguing. And when they start saying it's not worth arguing, what they keep saying is, well, all right, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to argue about it. Men who don't confront their mates because they don't want the inconvenience of the confrontation, the yelling, the upset, the tears, and all that, they don't want to do it, they go underground. And what happens? They begin to hate. On some level, they begin to hate. Most men who have been in relationships over 7 years hate their mates. That's tough words, isn't it? You think of love and all those beautiful things that people have. They may love you and hate you at the same time. You know how the hate manifests? Erectile dysfunction. You know when they talk about giving you Viagra for your erectile dysfunction because you can't get an erection, right? What they should give you is anger. They should tell you, straighten out your relationship with your wife. Talk to her. Tell her the truth. See what it's like to be yourself. It'll come right back. Because the very same man who can't get an erection with his wife can certainly get an erection with someone else or with himself. So Viagra is an anti-anger pill. Just as forget about it. You don't need the anger. We're talking about passive-aggressive behavior among people. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You do feel right to queue up and get it on our phones. We'll be taking your calls a little later. Blaming. Blaming is another thing. Passive-aggressive people, they're never responsible for their actions. Never. The dog, the cat, the airplane, the police, the subway, the weather. They're always blaming something else. If you aren't to blame, then it's something that happened at work, the traffic on the way home, the slow kirk at the convenience store. The passive-aggressive anger person has no faults. It is everyone around them who has a fault and must be punished for their fault. Everybody else is at fault. Now, what goes along with passive-aggressive anger is a lack of anger. He or me, she may never express anger. There are some who are happy with whatever you want on the outside anyway. There are those people who give a lot. I give. And then secretly they get even with you. Just get even. But they don't show their anger. They must have been taught as a child that anger is unacceptable to the people in charge. You know, when you think about it, we each grew up with some people who were in charge, and these people who were in charge may have found our real emotions inconvenient, like us discovering truth and seeing truth. So we became different because they were uncomfortable with truth, and therefore we turned not to show our feelings. Hence, you could go through life stuffing your anger, being accommodating, right? That's one of the things that people do, and then sticking to it and getting even in an underhanded way. And the underhanded way is passive-aggressive anger. Remember, passive-aggressive anger, you are powerless to do anything about it. You're even powerless to blame the person. Not me. I know passive-aggressive people, and when they do something, I blame them anyway. I just say, you're not getting away with your racket. Absolutely not. Don't give me any excuses. I won't buy it for a minute. You know something funny? They like it. Fear of dependency. The author of Living with the Passive-Aggressive Man, Scott Welser, who wrote this book, said, unsure of his autonomy and afraid of being alone, he fights his dependency needs, usually by trying to control you. He wants you to believe he doesn't depend on you, but he binds himself closer to you than he cares to admit. Relationships can become battlegrounds, but he denies his need for your support. So in the passive-aggressive relationship, the person who is passive-aggressive has a fear of their dependency, and they don't want to have it, yet they are dependent. And so it's like a push-me-pull-you. You know, I love you and I hate you. I love you and I hate you. I need you and I don't want you. They're also afraid of intimacy. Even though you would think these are the most loving people in the world, they're quick to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. They're very big with the L word. They're terrific with it. I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, you know how much I love you. Oh, I can't be without you. Passive aggressive. Because they have a fear of intimacy, you see. I love you, love you, love you doesn't mean I'm not afraid of being intimate. The passive-aggressive doesn't trust anybody. Because of this, they guard themselves against becoming intimately attached to someone. A passive-aggressive person will have sex with you, but they rarely make love to you. They accommodate you. They say, here, do what you need to do. But rarely will they make love. Passive-aggressive people don't make love. They get made love to. You know what I mean? They're the vestibules. If you feel themselves becoming attached, if they feel themselves becoming attached to you, they turn off their sexuality. They withhold sex. So there's a danger. One of the things you have to understand about passive-aggressive people, and this is very interesting because, you know, we all go around looking for nice people. And you find somebody nice. Nice, N-I-C-E. Nice word, they're nice. They're kind, they're calm, they're beautiful, right? And you hang out with them. Now, I've met a lot of men, and when I say to the men, I say, well, so what kind of person are you attracted to? And they say, oh, I like strong women, so on and so forth. And I say, what's wrong with the other kind? And they say, well, I don't like women who are like dish rags, they say. But what they don't know is that they're afraid of that anger because it is more disempowering than any other anger. This kind of anger, passive-aggressive anger, makes you feel completely powerless. completely depressed. You could get so depressed if you're in a relationship with a passive-aggressive person because you have nobody to get angry at, you see, because they take away your ability to see them as being the perpetrator of whatever these behaviors are. Obstructionism. Do you want something from your passive-aggressive spouse? If so, get ready to wait for it, and maybe even never get it. It is very important to your passive-aggressive mate that you never get your way. They look like they want you to get your way, but they're going to obstruct it. He or she will act as if they're giving you what you want, and that in giving this to you, it's important to them, but rarely will they follow through with giving it. It's very confusing to have someone appear to want to give you, but never follow through. I want to give, I want to. And then they don't, for one reason or another, usually because the dog eats the homework. Because, you know, I was going to do this, and I was going to win, but I couldn't do it. Now, mind you, this sounds like a female thing. Men are just as actively passive-aggressive as women are. And worse, because they look like they're not. You can begin to feel as if you're asking too much, and that's the way they want you to feel. So very often when you're with a passive-aggressive person and you make a demand, like, could you remember to lock the door? And they say, well, if you weren't yelling at me so much, I'd have been able to remember it. They make excuses for why they can't remember, and you're at fault. And there are other things, victims. Passive-aggressive people are usually victims. Passive-aggressive feels like they're being treated unfairly, and they really believe it. They'll tell their friends, my boss is a bum. They'll tell their friends, this guy did this to me, she did this to me. They believe it. They are victims. If you get upset because he or she is constantly late, they take offense. Because in their mind, it was somebody else's fault that they were late. How could you be mad at me? The train was late. You know what I mean? It was the guy on the train who was late. Now, you know, if you're a passive-aggressive person who has gone through that and been late for things, think about how many times you have felt right that this other person doesn't understand you just because it wasn't your fault. But you see, here's the deal. If you give me 100 people, and there are 50 passive-aggressive ones and 50 non-passive-aggressive ones, the 50 non-passive-aggressive ones will show up 90% of the time on time, but the 50 passive-aggressive times, people will show up 40% of the time. Because you can show up on time. You can not be late. You could follow through in what you say. You could. But not if you're spending your life getting even with people. Procrastination. Deadlines are for everybody but the passive-aggressive person. They hate deadlines. They can't stand deadlines. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. No, I didn't do it yet. No, I won't do it yet. No, I won't do it. They do things in their own time schedule, and they will be damned, anyone who expects differently from them. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Sound like anybody you know, or maybe you? It's okay if you're a passive-aggressive person. You say, there I am. Passive-aggressive. Here's my behaviors. What do I do? Well, there are a couple of things you could do. The passive-aggressive person needs to have a relationship with someone who can be the object of his or her hostility. So they would never have a relationship with somebody who doesn't accept excuses. You know, they're with somebody who they could bamboozle. It's called the racket. Your racket is, well, I'm going to make up excuses. That's your racket. In fact, I heard somebody yesterday, one of the men in my group, said they were racketeers. Racketeers are when you left crying because of somebody's rackets, right? Those are racketeers. I like that. If you're a passive-aggressive person, you need someone whose expectations and demands you could resist. Usually attracted to codependents, people with low self-esteem, and people who find it, who are happy to make excuses for your behavior. Passive aggressive. So usually, sometimes, you know, a couple, typical classic couple. The man is wild and he's aggressive and he does all kinds of crazy things, right? That's the man. And the woman is nice and polite and sweet. So she makes, so every time he goes around and he acts like a bouffant, you know, he's rough and he's, you know, I don't care. That's him, right? And she is, I love him. He's such a sweet man. Underneath, he's a nice man. And people say, so how could you stay with him? And the passive aggressive person says, oh, because I love him. Now, what's really going on? What's really going on is the passive aggressive person has no power. They have no guns, you see? They have nothing to fight with because it was taken away when they were little. So they use their mate as the hired gun. And I've actually seen this in force. It doesn't have to be just a man. It could be a woman as well. A woman who gets angry at everybody, and you're the nice guy, and you're the sweet guy, and you make excuses for her. And you say, oh, it must be hormonal or something. You know, and you're just kind of making excuses for her. What usually happens is you'll find that the person that your partner is getting angry at is somebody that you're really angry at. It's like you have a trained dog. You see? I got a trained, I got this bull mastiff. Go sick him. And I knew a woman who was talking about one woman she was really angry at. And she said something to her mate about something that this woman had said. Oh, yeah, she said she thought that you had put on some weight. That's what she said about him. That's all you got to do. You know, that's it. That set the guy off. Somewhere down later in the party, he makes some wisecrack that hurts the woman, right? Another person I know suggested a man who was angry at this other woman. He told his wife that she was jealous and something like that. So she goes after her for being jealous. It's like you could use the aggressive person as your weapon. Isn't that fun? A passive aggressive is usually attracted to people who find it easy to make excuses. The biggest frustration in being with a passive-aggressive person is that they never follow through on any agreements or promises. Do you promise? Nail it down. One of my friends who's passive-aggressive put up a big sign in her house called Nail It Down. That means finalize it. So if she were to make an appointment with someone, you're a lovely human being, but definitely passive-aggressive. So if she makes an appointment with someone, she said, okay, let's get together tomorrow. And the other person says, and this could be a business meeting, the other person says, good, we'll do it tomorrow. And she'll say, I'll call you. Now that's the mistake. Why don't you just say, how about at 4:27? I'll be there at 4:27. And usually with a passive-aggressive person, when you're making an agreement, you always see they have a little out somewhere. So if you say to them, will you meet me at 4:20? They say, yes, I'll meet you at 4:20. I'll call you. The minute you hear that, I'll call you. You know it's not going to happen. No, don't call me. Just be there at 4:27. Okay? All right, can you do that? Yeah, sure. I'll let you know. No. Don't let me know. Just be there. If you can be there. Or maybe you don't want to be there. Let's talk about it. They ignore problems in the relationship. They see through their own skewed sense of reality. They will deny evidence of wrongdoing. They'll distort what you know to be real to fit into their own agenda. The passive-aggressive will say one thing, do another, and then deny ever saying the first thing. Had an appointment with a guy yesterday. This is just the way he is. And call him up, say, okay, we have the appointment. And he says, yes, we have the appointment. And then he calls up and he says, oh, no, it wasn't my fault. It was Cynthia's fault because there was a confusion. But it's like always there. It's always a denial. A denial of anything that you thought you had as an agreement. You almost have to write it down. I'm going to write down that we're meeting at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Is that true? Now, this may all sound like I'm finding fault with passive-aggressive people. And I am. I am, because it's so hard to deal with. But, you know, in all truth, when I get to seeing it, if I don't have to work with it and I don't have to live with it, it's really sad to see. Working with it, living with it, that's very difficult. But it's sad to see. So how do you confront them? Beware. Because if you confront the passive-aggressive, he or she will likely sulk. They'll give you the silent treatment, completely walk away, leaving you standing there to deal with the problem alone. But there are two reasons for confronting the passive-aggressive. One, if you do it correctly, you may be able to help him or her gain insight into the negative consequences of their behaviors. But instead of the I know, which they always say, I know, that's what they all say. Passive-aggressive, they got an I know stamped somewhere on their lips. I know. So they want to stop you from beating them up by beating themselves up. Yeah, I know. What's wrong? I mean, that's a problem I have. Even if it doesn't happen, they'll at least give you the opportunity to talk to them in a frank way and at least get the feelings off your chest, what you're feeling. Make your feelings the subject of the conversation and not his or her bad behaviors. Don't attack their character. Don't say, you do this, you do that. Just say, I feel bad when I can't count on you. I am disappointed. I feel sad. Make sure you have privacy when you do it. You never want to do that in front of anyone else because it's too big to deal with. Confront him or her about one thing at a time. Don't bring everything at once. Just do one thing. Let's talk about this lateness. And if he or she needs to retreat from the conversation, if they need to get away from you at the moment, let them do it. Let them move away. Don't go after them. And try to ask yourself the question, what is it that I'm doing to make this unsafe for this person to be here? Have a time limit. A confrontation should not stretch on indefinitely. I say no more than 20 minutes, usually. And if he or she tries to turn the table on you, do not defend your need to have an adult conversation about your feelings. Don't get on the defensive. And they will do that. You, and you start hearing it, and you know you just got to stick to your gun somehow, and be sure he or she understands that you care about what happens to them, that you love them, and you're not trying to control them. You're only trying to get to the bottom of your disagreements and to make the relationship between you and them better. It takes skill. Remember, the passive-aggressive mostly is not aware of what they're doing. They feel like innocents. They feel like victims. They feel like, you know, it's... So it takes some kindness on your part. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, oh, it's time for me to play you some marvelous music. I discovered something great for you. So I'm going to play you something new and different when we get back. And one more reminder about your donations to BAI. If your credit card did not clear the donation to BAI, maybe we took the number wrong in the tally room. Call us back if you don't see the charge for the donation you made. Or if you have a check and you're due to send it in. Don't wait for us to call you. All right? It's really important. We did very well in this marathon. And I'd like to reward the efforts of all the people. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Kumakakakale, which means stop being late for dinner every night. You're listening to Echo Deck, E-C-C-O-D-E-K, doing Mongolia on the Line, Mongolia on the Line, Echo Deck. It really doesn't mean don't be late for dinner. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. In case you just tuned in, this is the magnificent, the wonderful, the incredible, the fabulous WBAI radio station. It's quite a place. Quite a place. You want to know anybody who's going to fight for the rights of us? WBAI. Fabulous. Back to you, regular programming. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. The Positive Mind. We're talking about aggression. You know, one of the things I like about WBAI, they're aggressive. They fight. You should see us when we get on picket lines. And we decide that we're going to fight for something. We fight actively. We're out there. We're not afraid. But the passive aggressive has no real denial. It has no real desire to be in a fight because they're afraid of getting hurt. That makes sense. You know, like the signifying monkey. Did you ever hear of a signifying monkey? I bet you don't know what a signifying... I'm in the studio here with Cynthia McGrite. McGrite, who is looking at me confusedly when I say signifying monkey. A signifying monkey is the monkey who sits up in the tree and he says to the lion, lion, that gorilla was just talking bad about you. You see, and then the lion gets angry at the gorilla and goes and attacks the gorilla because if you're signifying means you're making trouble. Passive-aggressive people make trouble. I shouldn't be telling you this, but... You know, can you keep a secret? Passive-aggressive behavior. You know, I shouldn't let you know this, right? But, so we're talking about passive-aggressive people, and we're talking about this as a form of covert abuse. Covert abuse. The passive-aggressive has a real desire to connect emotionally with people, but they fear such a connection because it makes them get lost. They're terrified of getting lost. They could lose themselves in another person. So they'll be covert with their actions, and it'll only move them further and further from the desired relationship with you. So as much love as you see there, for as long as you hold out, you're going to get that love. But when you surrender, forget it. Then little things start to happen. And when little things start to happen... you say to yourself, oh, we got to make this better, and we'll go into therapy and we'll have conversations and so on and so forth, if the therapist understands. The passive-aggressive person objectifies the object of their desire. You are to be used as a means to an end. So when they have somebody they want, it's not the person they're really relating to. It's the person, the symbol, you know, the object. Oh, my man, as opposed to, oh, hi, Armand, or, oh, my baby. That's objectifying, you see. Not that, I mean, it's not such a terrible thing. Sometimes it sounds nice to hear somebody talk to you that way. But you're hearing, you're not me, you're talking about the symbol of me. Your only value is to feed their emotional need. And if their emotional need is to make you happy and satisfy you, you better do that. You're not seen as a person with feelings and needs, but as an extension of him or her. And they care for you the way they care for a favorite chair. You're there for their comfort and pleasure for as long as you could fill their needs. Passive-aggressive people want the attention and attachment that comes with loving someone, but fears losing their independence. And you'll always notice about passive-aggressive people, they got quick feet. They have a car, they move around, they go different places, and they're hard to pin down. Even though they seem like, oh, I'm here for you 100%, but boom, I'm out of the room. You have to keep them at arm's length if there's an emotional attachment. It's always tenuous at its best. So the only hope for change in the way they deal with relationship issues is if they are able to acknowledge their shortcomings, recognize their passive aggressiveness, see it, and swear off. They need a diet of no excuses. And I have a friend who is a passive aggressive, and she says every time she explains something, she whacks herself. She does it. She just gives herself a little whack. She says, whoop, she goes, ah, little slap. She says, it's an excuse. And she never gives an excuse anymore. And she finds that she's actually getting better without the excuses. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm going to give out a phone number now, 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We haven't taken your calls in a long time. We will. It'll take a few minutes to queue up there, but it's time to go to your phone. Come over and say hello to The Positive Mind. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Passive aggressive. Hey, tomorrow we're going to continue our program on sexual compulsivity. We started doing it a couple of weeks ago, but we couldn't get through it. And Sherry Siegel and I will be here talking more about compulsive sexuality. So be sure to tune in on Wednesday. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Armand. Hi. Tell you the truth, I don't think they're so innocent, the passive-aggressive people. I think that they're malicious, and they deliberately do things to irritate the other person in such a way that if the person fights back, then they can correctly say, oh, what's your problem? You're being the aggressor. I could give you an example. My daughter has a friend, and I know he's very passive-aggressive towards me. I don't know if he's that way towards everyone, but he'll come in to the house. He's invited in, fine. She invites him in, fine. The first thing he does, he goes straight to the garbage can to check if I empty the garbage. A lot of times I don't. I'm not one of these people who are cleaning 24 hours a day. And he will do that every time. At first I thought, am I imagining things? Is this really happening? So I made a point to watch what he does the minute he comes in. Sure enough, he'll go straight to the kitchen and check the garbage can. He doesn't say anything, and I don't say anything, but I think that's passive-aggressive. It irritates me. I want to say, why are you doing that for? But because he's passive-aggressive, if I say that, he's very likely to say, what are you talking about? You're nuts. What are you talking about? But I know that I noticed he does it every time. That's an example, of what I mean.
I hear what you're saying. Thank you very much. You're right. Very often people use it as a form of aggression. And you're right, it is. There's aggressive behaviors behind us. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Nice
right,
to
bye.
Hear your voice again. 212-209-2900. Garbage checkers, huh? Hi, let's get another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I called when I heard you said they hate women. And that's about the seventh.
Who's they?
You said the male passive-aggressive hates women.
Yes.
At the age of, I mean, after 7 years.
Well, no, it's not. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did I say all males?
No, you just said the passive-aggressive.
No, not even all passive-aggressive male hate women, but many, many. Why, you don't agree or do agree?
Oh, I agree, because about 7 years into my marriage, I got accused of being, you know, unfaithful. I mean, it was insane. I used to get bombarded in the morning time if I went down to make breakfast in the morning. Where you're talking on the cell phone when I'm in the shower. Just accusing, constantly accusing all along. And then finally at one point when I got fed up with it, then he said to me, oh, I just said that. He put me through months. Here I say a year of hell.
And you,
it has
truly
affected me to this point where I feel so humiliated because it wasn't true. And I was trying to do the best I can because he was so malicious and mean.
Yeah. And now are you done with him?
No, we're still there trying to muddle along, but it's very difficult to trust. It's very difficult to really feel connected with this human being because it's like he took my heart and just made it into smithereens. You couldn't have put it, you can't put it back together if you tried.
So why do you stay there?
Well, because you have children. And
who has children?
I do, and we try to, you know, I try and focus on that. How dare I committed to this? How dare I break it up to be selfish, knowing what effect the children could have? And I'm not going to say he's such a horrible person to them. Could be better, but, you know, I think they appreciate
it. I understand that. I understand that, but, you know, yeah, I understand. I understand. It's very difficult when you're in that situation. It's a pity that you have to wait so long for this. But, you know, did you ever feel like you hate him?
Yeah.
Yeah, hate, right?
Yes.
Do you ever look at him and say, I think to yourself, I hate him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever have fantasies about hitting him in the head with something?
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
What? With what?
So I don't even want to say, but yes.
It gets really graphic. You think about knives and stuff like that?
I think about definitely doing something inappropriate, and that's not my nature.
Okay, but let me ask you something. How would you like to do something inappropriate just once? You know, like one day when he's sleeping,
mm-hmm.
to get a big cake and throw it on his face. Or just something wild. You tell me he doesn't expect. And you say, oh, he's bringing you the cake and it fell on your face. How do you like that? Just once. And you may have to pay dues for it. He gets up and he yells at you.
Mm-hmm.
But just maybe one day, not to hurt him really physically, but to do something like take his shoes away and he can't find them anywhere. Just one day to get even. Wouldn't you like that?
Yes.
It may save your soul.
Well,
because you may, if you do one thing that doesn't really hurt him a great deal, but it's nice if you remove his shoes and he spends the entire day saying, where's my shoes? I don't know. And just let him go around the house looking for shoes. You know, whatever it is that you could do to give him grief once. And during that period of time while you're giving him grief and you're torturing him, you're saying to yourself, and this is for all the times you did it to me. And at the end of it, don't ever fess up to it. Then you let it go.
Well, I've done one other thing. I mean, I've done something, but...
What'd you do?
I broke his watch.
Good for you. All right. On
but
purpose?
It hasn't helped to the degree.
Oh, but he like saw it. He saw you break his watch.
No.
Oh, no, you did it on purpose when he wasn't looking?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you, people have their ways. But you see, that's a passive-aggressive way of getting even with him. So you showed exactly what people do. Anyway, I still think a pie in the eye is kind of a nice thing, you know, while you're sleeping. You know, when you're sleeping one day and you're laying there, and suddenly you wake up and there's this cake on your face. Something intriguing. Now, I know this doesn't sound very mentally healthy, and probably people in my profession would hold me up and say, what's the matter with you talking about revenge? We're supposed to be teaching love. Well, you know, love with a little revenge is not so bad.
Yeah, I just feel so sad because I opened up my heart. And this is what I got.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like when I look back at it, yeah, it's kind of funny. Oprah said, you know, take people what they show you, believe what they who they are. And I wish I would have heard that before. Because I always thought, you know, if I be a good, genuine person, that's all that matters. And it was irrelevant.
But you see, there's another thing here as well. What's your name, by the way?
Karen.
You see, there's another side to this, Karen, and pardon my not being too sensitive to you, but you are passive-aggressive as well.
Mm-hmm.
See, both of you are. And this is what happens. So even though I know you feel like the victim of this, part of your passive-aggressiveness was not to get close to him.
Mm.
You see, you didn't really want to get close. So I don't think that you were just opening your heart out of innocence. I think you chose a guy who you couldn't get close to. Now, you may be ready to be different now. You may be ready to be different, and this may be the time to make a change in your life of some kind. But let's stop burying your anger, and let's see if we could do something that gets you to be more aggressive and more expressive of what you really feel.
Yeah.
Karen, you're a beautiful person. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, hello?
Hello.
Hello, sorry, but my English is not too good.
Okay.
My mother is an aggressive, passive woman, and my ex-husband, it is. He is too. And I need a long time to change, to be out of these two people.
They torture you, don't they?
Yes, a lot. But I was married for 25 years. For children, I need to stop. I felt so guilty, but when I stop these terrible things, my life was different. I start with my life again. I need to put all my life in two bags when I was 50. And I came to New York to start again. And I feel so proud and so happy because I did that.
Boy, did anybody help you make that step?
Yes, I did a lot of therapy, for sure. I need therapy. I need meditation, yoga. I need a lot of love of my children and other people, friends. And it was so good. Yes, for sure, I was on therapy almost 15 years.
Wow.
Yes.
And yoga, it helped a great deal as well. And meditation, and all of it, and recognizing your power. I have a good friend, Linda Vanello. She's a social worker, therapist, teaches yoga as well. She was showing me some of the power that you could get from just the exercise itself, the movement of yoga. You found that important to you?
Yes, I found it so important to be aware. To be aware of what's happened, because aggressive, passive aggressive people confuse you all the time.
That's
you
the never, idea, sure.
You never are aware. You are always in other world. You never are in the real world with you when you have aggressive passive near you.
Right. You never know what's real. And, you know, there are times when they have real realness. But it's just like you've got to give up trusting it. You've got to just trust, say to yourself, I never will know what's real. It's just not the way it's going to be. But, well, congratulations to you. What's your name?
Yes, I think Cecilia.
Cecilia.
I think the most important thing is try to fight for your self-esteem, to have more self-esteem, to understand more about how important are your by yourself for yourself. I don't know if you understand me.
I understand you perfectly, Cecilia. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. Your English is perfectly understandable.
Okay, thank you for your program. It's so nice. It's so good.
And thank you for your courage.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to have to be going. And we will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. talking about compulsive sexuality. If you want a copy of today's program, you can download it from WBAI.org or from thepositivemind.com. Send me an email. Love to receive it.